coming to you live from the WVUA FM News Studios in Reese Pfeiffer Hall. I'm Rich Robinson. You're listening to Capstone News Now. We'll speak to Nathan James, columnist for the Crimson White. His column titled "Town Hall Fails to Fill Conversational Void About UA Problems," and it's creating a whole bunch of buzz on campus. But before we do that, we will go over to our own Sunny Dill with a news update. Sunny.
In international news, an underwater volcanic eruption off the coast of Japan has created a new island. It currently measures 660 feet in diameter. The Associated Press reports the new island is about 620 miles south of Tokyo. This is reportedly the first volcanic activity in this area in around 40 years. Japan is going to wait and see if the sea swallows the island before they decide if they're going to name it a new island.
In state news, Alabama's parole board has approved of granting posthumous pardons in the infamous Scottsboro boys rape case. The board made the decision during a hearing this morning in Montgomery for three black men whose convictions were never overturned in a case that came to symbolize racial injustice in the Deep South in the 1930s. Back to you, Rich.
Thanks, Kristen. We'll go down to an interview conducted with Nathan James. Nathan's a columnist for the Crimson White. Had a column out in this morning's CW. It's on the newsstands now. You can pick it up. You can also view it online, cw.ua.edu. Here's our interview with Nathan James. Nathan, your column today in the CW titled "Town Hall Fails to Fill Conversational Void About UA Problems." Boy, you don't really hold back on what you have to think about what happened today. How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing pretty well, and yeah, I guess I didn't really hold back on that. I was really disappointed by the town hall meeting, and it was an honors college town hall assembly, which happens a couple of times a year, and it's held by students and faculty members. I attended because a group that I am a member of was attending, you know, and I was expecting to hear from Judy Bonner and from Mayor Maddox, and yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter was that I was really disappointed, and if you read the column, then you know that.
Right. Let's kind of go look at the facts here, and we've been able to verify some of these facts as well, and we've reached out to the university for additional comment. We'll talk about that in a second as well. But President Bonner was scheduled to attend this town hall event with Mayor Walt Maddox. It was going to be a conversation with Dean Shane Sharp from the Honors College initially in the beginning of the forum, and then it's going to turn into a forum where the audience would be able to ask her questions about different things.
That was the thinking, yeah.
Right. And I guess that did end up happening with Mayor Maddox, but many students, with all due respect to Mayor Maddox, wanted to hear about President Judy Bonner's comments.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody had any problem hearing. I mean, I was very happy to hear from Mayor Maddox. I'm happy I had that opportunity.
Sure.
But to me, the person who has more direct control over my campus experience and over my university, that was the person who I was excited about hearing from. And when she didn't show up, that was really the frustrating thing.
And also, Mayor Maddox is very accessible. You can actually email him, and he'll respond to you. That's his policy. He'll respond to you in a couple days. President Bonner, her reputation is not exactly the same. So this rare opportunity, for this rare opportunity for students to actually be able to talk to her was kind of a big deal. So Nathan, what ended up happening was apparently 2 hours later, earlier, and you spoke to, I haven't spoke to the organizers, so this is what you're saying. So well, tell us what your reporting has to say about this.
Well, at the event was scheduled to start at 6:30, and at 6:25 there were three nameplates up there, one for Dr. Shane Sharp, one for Mayor Maddox, and one for Judy Bonner. At 6:30, Judy Bonner wasn't there, and at 6:32, somebody kind of stepped up to the table and just took her name tag and flipped it face down. And they started with just Mayor Maddox and Dr. Sharp.
So they didn't even take the name tag off the table?
No, they just turned it down.
Right.
They made an announcement, and what they said was that at 4:30, Dr. Bonner had sent them an email saying that she had a family crisis and that she wouldn't be able to attend. And I certainly don't want to come across as questioning that, but I never understood why they didn't tell us in advance that Judy Bonner wasn't going to be there, because right up until the point where the event started, we were all under the impression that we'd be hearing from her. And there was a place set up for her. They were advertising it as a situation where you'd be able to talk to Judy Bonner. And it was really frustrating that we went in with that expectation, and that was what we were led to believe. And then, just at the very last moment, that was changed so that, you know, they told us she wasn't going to be present.
So in your opinion, Nathan, either the town hall organizers it was a lack of oversight on their part, or they did think that President Bonner had the possibility of still attending.
Yeah, I don't know which of those it was. I wouldn't speculate really as to which it was, because I don't have the background information to know or to have an intelligent opinion about that. But I think it's likely one of those two, yeah.
Well, we reached out to the university. We spoke to one of the media relations folks for the university, Shane Dorrell. Mr. Dorrell, basically corroborating what the Crimson White has reported when the initial story came out that President Bonner did indeed have a family emergency. We tried to ask for more information. We've done so a couple times, and we've repeatedly been told that that's it, a family emergency. So we invite President Bonner to come on our radio show, and I'm sure it was a family emergency, but we invite her to come on and talk to us. We'd love to be able to hear, and we'd like to field questions from students as well and get their input. So we definitely invite President Bonner. But Nathan, we'll let you go here in a second. Just real quick, though, you know, this event, and again, it is sort of one of those things where we don't know all the facts. No doubt President Bonner probably did have a family emergency. But the perception is so terrible for the university because she never makes herself available for other people. So maybe this wouldn't be a big deal if she was more accessible. Don't you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that right now the university kind of has a paradigm as a whole. And it's not just Judy Bonner, although she's certainly the most visible example of it. The university as a whole has a paradigm where when there's a problem, they don't talk about it. You know, we have these situations with voter fraud, we have these situations with the segregation of the campus, we have these situations with overcrowding, and none of these have been addressed in any way in any kind of official forum by the people who are in charge of running the university. And I think that's really problematic, and I think it's trying to capitalize on what's perceived to be an apathetic student body and in ways a powerless student body. And I think that we're seeing now with situations like CNN coverage of segregation, with the UA Stands protest and the other things, that paradigm, it's ultimately very flawed because students do care. They are actively seeking ways to get involved and affect the nature of our university for the better. And that it's very dangerous, and it's also very conceited to assume that students don't care enough to involve themselves in these kinds of situations.
Well, Nathan James, appreciate your comments here. Keep trying to get some comments from the university. We're trying to get President Judy Bonner on our radio show as well. Nathan James, your column. Town Hall fails to fill conversational void about UA problems on Newsstands Now for the Crimson White. Thanks, Nathan.
Absolutely.
You're listening to WVUA FM. This is Capstone News Now. We bring you more of the news that matters to you. Here's Kristen Fite.
In international news, the global chemical weapons watchdog is inviting private companies to get involved in the destruction of Syria's stockpile of toxic agent and precursor chemicals. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons is posting a request for expression of interest from companies interested in playing a role in the treatment and disposal of hazardous and non-hazardous organic and inorganic chemicals. A senior OPCW official say that more than 700 tons of chemicals listed can be destroyed at regular commercial facilities. The most dangerous chemicals will still have to be destroyed at a secure facility under OPCW supervision. No site has yet been found, and it is possible it will be carried out at sea.
A truck bombing at an outdoor market in northeastern Iraq is the deadliest in a series of attacks today that had killed at least 38 people in that country. The attacks come a day after a series of coordinated explosions hit mainly Shiite commercial areas in Baghdad and elsewhere, killing 35 people.
I'm Taylor Ray with a weather update. The weather forecast for this winter is in from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and it's inconclusive. NOAA says there are no big global weather factors in play. So far, most of the country, there's an equal chance of unusual warmth, cold, snow, and rain, or average weather. Forecasters do expect unusual warmth from Arizona to Alabama, and also in New England, and drought in the southeast and southwest. The extreme north around the Dakotas is expected to be colder than normal.